3. 1 John chapter 3. I'd like to read verse 24 through verse 4 of chapter 4. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. To take the thought of the message from the last part of verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is a statement of fact concerning every saved individual. There is not a single saved person, no matter what their spiritual standing is with God, there's not a single saved person that those words are not true of. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is a statement of great encouragement for those who know the Lord as Savior. Every saved person ought to be greatly strengthened. Every saved person ought to be greatly encouraged by the fact of those words. It is also a great statement of assurance. It's something that every one of us can know, something that we can know for sure. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We know. We know the Spirit of God abides in us. We know that Jesus Christ abides in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. We have absolute assurance of that. We know also this is a great statement of persuasiveness. This fact should be a persuading force in our life. It should give us courage in our life. It should give us courage to do what we ought to do. It should give us courage to be what we ought to be, because we know that he that is in us is greater than anything that we'll ever have to face in this world. It's also a statement just simply to remind us. It's something we need to always be reminded of. It's not what we can do or can't do. It's he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Therefore, we can say with Paul that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So we're going to speak this evening on greater is he. I want to consider three main points. First of all, we'll look at the contextual setting of this statement. Then we'll look at the statement itself, and then just a few words of application. But first of all, consider the context in which we find these words. The words, greater is he than he that is in you than he that is in the world, become more meaningful when we look at the context of the book of 1 John. The ultimate reason that John is writing these individuals is because of the spiritual climate that they were living in, because they were in danger of falling, because they were in danger of being infected by that which was all around them. And there's many, many allusions here to what these people were facing and the kind of people that they were surrounded by. And it's very, very similar to our situation today. But as you read the book of 1 John, it appears that many of them, many of the people that surrounded the people that John were writing to, were saying one thing with their mouth, and yet they were living something else. And we see that several times throughout the book of 1 John, he makes reference to the fact that a person can say something, but that doesn't make it true. So they were surrounded by people that would say they loved God, but didn't. They were surrounded by people that said that they loved one another, but didn't. They were surrounded by people who said that they knew the Lord as Savior, but didn't. And so John is reminding them, though you're surrounded by all of these people, keep in mind that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We see also there seem to be surrounded by a people who had very little fellowship with God, and their fellowship with the world was increasing. There was no antagonism between them and the world. They were more on the world's side than they were God's side. Notice in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, I believe John is telling them this because they were surrounded by this spiritual climate of people who were in love with the world. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And he reminds them here in our text, he that is in you is greater than he that is in them. So we can overcome. We can overcome the world. We see also that the spirit of Antichrist was very prevalent. Notice in 1 John 2, in verse 18, he says, "Little children, it's the last time. And as you have heard," and again, if it was the last time then, what is it now? It's far, far worse. So we see it is the last time, "and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists against Christ." Anyone who is against Christ has the spirit of Antichrist. We're not saying that they are the Antichrist, but they have the spirit of Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. So there was that spirit of Antichrist all around them. We have that everywhere we go today, is the spirit of Antichrist. The world today, and especially our society, is more tolerant of Barabbas than they are Jesus Christ. We live in a day when folks would be more tolerant of that which is sinful than they are Jesus Christ. They're more tolerant of a liar and a thief and a cheat than they are Jesus Christ. A man who's been to prison or a man who has done all kinds of terrible things has a better chance of getting elected in this country than someone who stands up and says they believe in Jesus Christ. Because we're surrounded by a spirit of Antichrist. And we, like the readers here, need to be reminded, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Not only that, the presence of false teachers was very, very prevalent. In 1 John 2 and verse 26, he said, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." There's a lot of spiritual seducers out there today. And as a result, there were those who had departed from the faith. And we are surrounded today by those who have departed from the faith. Again, notice in 1 John 2 and verse 19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Now, I find great encouragement in that verse. Because you can make yourself absolutely crazy by thinking about everyone who has left Home Baptist Church. But don't forget this truth. They went out from us because they were not of us. So that's the Lord's blessing. That's the Lord's blessing. If they're not of us, the best thing to happen is for them to go out from us. That's God's blessing. You say, well, what about the ones the Lord's added? They'll be back. They'll come back. They'll come back in short time. But there are many who'll never come back. And we ought to thank God for that. because they went out from us, because they were not of us. So don't get discouraged by that. But instead, look at it as a blessing of God. Look at it as God protecting his church. And then be reminded that he that is in us is greater than he that is in them. There also appears to have been a readiness to welcome teaching that was destructive. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." So there were obviously those who were doing that. He says, "But do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits. Test what you hear by the word of God. Don't be overcome by error." And we are surrounded today by spiritual foolishness. We are surrounded today by things that are absolutely absurd. And we need to be encouraged, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in them. There appears to have been a lack of love for God, which results in a lack of brotherly love, and also the development of spiritual laxity and indifference. And as we've seen in Sunday school, you go through here and you see that there, verse 7 and verse 8 of 1 John chapter 4, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So they were surrounded by all of these influences. And it seems also that the people were beginning to lose their joy. And that's why he wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 4, "These things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." They were losing their joy. So those who are losing their joy, remember, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So without a doubt, they, just like we, were living in very difficult, very trying, very perilous times. And we live in a very similar, except worse, spiritual climate. When many saved, when many who profess to be saved say one thing and then do something entirely different, and then expect you and I to receive them with open arms, and expect you and I to embrace everything simply because they made a profession of faith. We're surrounded by that today. We see also that we live in a spiritual climate when many who profess to be saved have very little fellowship with God, if any, and have much fellowship with the world. They are antagonistic toward God, and yet they are friends with the world. They find it more difficult. Don't you think there's something wrong with someone who professes to be saved, and yet they can get along with the world better than they can get along with God's people? Something's wrong with that. And I know what's wrong with it, and all of us do. But we're surrounded with the spirit of Antichrist. It's very prevalent today. We're surrounded by false teachers, many departing from the faith. And that's why we have to be stronger every day. We have to be very picky about who we're going to listen to, who is going to preach from this pulpit, because there are many seducers out there today. And we cannot afford for anyone to be seduced by a false teacher. So we do not tolerate false teachers. We do not tolerate doctrinal error. And we see these people here, they're being warned. Do not tolerate these things. And to encourage them, they're being told, remember, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Because the truth is, many times we get tired. Many times we get tired of asking all the questions of what someone believes before you have them preach. But you can't afford to get tired of that. Many times people get tired of walking a certain line. Don't grow tired of that. Just remember, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We too live in a time when the love of God, that is love toward God, has grown cold amongst those who profess to be saved. We too live in a time when many who profess to be saved have know absolutely nothing. Know absolutely nothing about joy. Know nothing about the joy of the Lord. Know nothing about the happiness of a child of God. We live in a society that is filled with adultery. Live in a society that is filled with fornication and immorality and uncleanness and lying and cheating and idolatry and stealing. When good is evil and evil is good, when those who take a stand along biblical lines are ridiculed by those who profess to be saved. I expect to be ridiculed by the world. I do not appreciate being ridiculed by those who profess to know Jesus Christ as Savior. That bothers me. That bothers me greatly. We live in a time when people have just been swept away by the world's fantasies and by the philosophies of the world. Most today are drunk with the pleasures of this world. They're intoxicated with the pleasures of this world. Their mind is clouded. They cannot possibly make a right decision. They can't think right. And this is the climate that surrounds us today. But the good news is that you and I, as children of God, can rise above all of that. We don't have to be bogged down by any of that, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So consider this statement now just by itself. Ye are of God. That's a blessing right there. Ye are of God. Little children. That also is a blessing. Little children are people that are taken care of, or should be. And if we are of God and we are His little children, God is going to take care of us. I'm not dependent upon the government. I'm not dependent upon anybody in political office. But I am God's little child. And God's going to take care of me, and God's going to take care of you. Do we get concerned sometimes? Yes, because we get our minds off the one who really takes care of us. But you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. The them refers back to the false teachers and the spirit of Antichrist. You have overcome them. You're not bogged down by these things. You haven't been deceived by the false teachers. You haven't been deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. Because, here's why. Not because we're more intelligent. Not because we're better than someone. Because, for this reason, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. In other words, if you and I have overcome the spiritual climate that is around us, it's nothing of ourselves. It's all because of the One who dwells within us. I know the Spirit of God dwells in me. I cannot sin without it bothering me. And there, it's amazing today how many who profess to be saved can live the lives they live and not ever have their conscience pricked. That tells me that the Spirit of God does not abide in them. The Spirit of God abides in me. And this statement, three words, greater is He. Three words. Those words declare the magnificence of God. Greater is He. Look at two words. Is He. Is He. Two wonderful words. Those two words declare the eternity of God. Those two words declare the immutability of God. That little word is. Present singular of to be. He is. In other words, whatever God has been, whatever God was, He is. And whatever He is, He will continue to be. And the good news is, He abides in me. Greater is He. Every single day. God is. Every single day, God is creator. Every single day, God is controller. Every single day, God is the ruler. Every single day, God is the sustainer. Every single day, God is almighty. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. God is gracious. It's just good to know that God is. And that's what these two words declare, is He. God is. So no matter what we have to go through, no matter what you and I may experience, remember, He is. He is. We're going to change, but He doesn't. He is. These words also are a declaration of God's greatness. Greater is He. That means that God excels, that God goes beyond everything else. It means that God is bigger than anything else. God is larger than anything else. It means that God is going to outlast everything else. God's going to be bigger than any problem you have. However big you think your problem is, God is bigger. God is greater. Your problem's not going to last forever. God is. So God is greater than whatever it is that we have to go through. He's of longer duration. It means that God is more remarkable than anything we have to face. He's more magnificent. He's more splendid. He's superior to anything we have to face. These words, greater is He, are always facts. It's reality. Greater is He. No matter where you are, greater is He. No matter what you perceive reality to be, and many times what you and I perceive to be reality and what is reality are two entirely different things. But whatever you perceive reality to be, greater is He. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the time, God is greater. This is always so. But then notice the presence of God. Greater is He that is. There's that word is again. Is in you. We're told there in verse 24 of chapter 3 that He is great. He who is greater abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Now the Bible tells us that God is so big, God is so large, God is so immense that the heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. How can a God that big, that immense, that fills the entire universe all at once, without multiplication, without division, dwell in me? But that's what He does. God is in you. He's above us, He's below us, He's beside us, He's in front of us, He's behind us. But more important than all of that, greater is He that is in you. The God who is, the God who always is, the God who is always greater is in us. What a blessing. How can that not encourage us to serve the Lord? The God who created the universe is in me. How can that not make a difference in my life? How can that not make a difference in the way I think? How can that not make a difference in the way I perceive things? Because wherever God is, He's doing something. He's always acting. And if God is dwelling in me, then He's working. He's working in me. The very same God who was in Enoch, and enabled Enoch to walk with God in very sinful times is in me. And therefore I am enabled to walk with God. The very God who was with Noah and enabled Noah to persevere in a very godless and wicked society. He's in me. The very God who was in Abraham and enabled Abraham to believe God's word is in me and enables me to believe God's word. The very God who was in Joseph, who enabled Joseph to glorify God in every circumstance of his life, is in us. Therefore, I too am enabled to glorify the Lord. The God who was in Caleb and Joshua, who enabled them to believe in times of unbelief, is in us. The God who was in David, the God who was in Elisha and Elijah, and on and on and on we could go. But God is in us. It's good to know. When you know you're going to face a difficulty, and you know you're all by yourself as far as other people are concerned, it's good to know that you have one in you that's greater than anything you have to face. I've never had a problem being intimidated telling somebody about the Lord or what they ought to do spiritually. And that's all because of the one who's in me. He gives us the courage. He gives us the boldness that we need. So to make application, the God who is, the God who always is, the God who is always greater, the God who is always in us, that ought to encourage us. That ought to embolden us to stand. That ought to embolden us to speak. You say, well, if I speak there, I'm in the minority. No, you're not. God is greater. The child of God really is never in the minority. How can you be if God's in you? Because God is everything. We perceive sometimes that, yes, we're in the minority, but in reality, we're not. That's really not reality. We have the majority because God is in us. And because God is in us, then I can live in a way that is pleasing to Him. I can't do that on my own, but because of the God who dwells in me, I can please God. I can serve the Lord in a way that's pleasing to Him. I can follow the Lord wherever He leads because of the one who abides in us. We can be surrendered to God's will. Every one of us can be surrendered to God's will. Why? Because of He that is in us. He works that surrender. We can be dedicated. We can do whatever the Lord commands. We can be whatever the Lord wants us to be. Because God is in us. You see, the strength and the ability is not in us. It's in God. And because God is in us, we can live above the world's ways. You know, I've already tried living the world's ways. It didn't work. And God delivered me from that. If God delivered me from that, why in the world would I ever want to go back to the world's ways? If God delivers you from a prison, you have no desire to go back to that prison. I can live above the world's ways. I can live above the world's thinking. Used to think just like the world. So did you. But God changed our minds. Why would I ever want to go back and adapt my thinking to the world's thinking? God delivered me from that. I don't want to adapt my thinking to modern thinking, modern thought. Because modern thought's a bunch of hogwash. It's a bunch of foolishness. I don't want to go back there. And I don't have to go back there. Because God is in me and God is greater. He's greater than the world's thinking. I don't want to go back to the world's pursuits, and I don't have to be overcome by the world's pursuits. The world lives for themselves. The world lives for what they can get. And they're going round and round and round in circles. They're in a rat race. But you and I don't have to live that way. We don't have to be bogged down with that lifestyle. Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And therefore, we're able to overcome the world's pursuits and the world's desires. What the world desires today and what you and I desire today should be two entirely different things. We're not on the same page. And that's why it's very difficult to argue with the world, because you're not arguing on the same page. You're not even on the same page. You're not even in the same world. You're not even of the same creation when you think about it, because you're a new creature. So don't get all caught up with arguing with the world, because they're talking to an alien and you're talking to one. So we need to go from here tonight knowing greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Whatever your problems are tonight, whatever your needs are tonight, God is greater. Whatever battles you're going to have to face, whatever battles you face right now, whatever struggles you're going to have to face, and whatever struggles you face right now, realize this truth, that God is in you and he's greater than all of that. Whatever opposition that is in your life, whatever hindrances are in your life, whatever it is that's trying to hold you back from being what God would have you to be, just realize that truth, claim that promise. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Therefore, I don't have to be bogged down. I don't have to live in fear. I can do what God tells me to do. That ought to encourage us tonight. But people will say all the time, oh, Brother Dan, you don't know how hard it is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got to believe that. You've got to grab hold of that. And when you have nothing else to hold on to, hold on to that. Just do not let go of that truth. And you'll be amazed at the courage that God will give you. You'll be amazed at how you're able to stand all by yourself in the face of opposition. So knowing that truth, we ought to go from here with greater desire to serve God. Don't get bogged down in the past. You can spend your present mourning over the past. And all you're doing is repeating the past when you do that. Don't get bogged down with the past. But go forth with greater zeal. Go forth with greater passion. And we need passion today. We need determination. We need resolve. And these aren't things that we just work up. We don't have to work it up, because he that is in us gives us that passion. Gives us that desire. We cannot afford, the Lord's churches cannot afford tonight to lose their passion, to lose their desire, to lose that zeal. And we certainly cannot afford to go back. We've gone this far. I mean, I'm at the point of my, I'm not that old, but I'm at the point in my life, and I look at it, I've gone this far, I'm not about to go back now. Because I don't have another 55 years. So I've gone this far. I don't want to go back. Well, you're just being stubborn. Praise God. We need some stubbornness. We need some people that are going to be stubborn. This is what the book says, and this is what I believe. So God help us to realize this truth. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Sometimes this world can overcome us. Sometimes we get tired. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because greater is he. greater is He. Yes, my problem may seem insurmountable, but greater is He. My struggle may seem insurmountable, but greater is He. And not only greater is He, but He that is greater is in me. And the one who is in me is going to work in me, and He is going to lead me, and He is going to help me. He is not going to leave me. So we have every reason to be courageous. We have every reason not to fear what this world can do unto us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and